Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. I never thought that we would be at this point. Here with my man and our publisher, the longest tenured guy on the Kansas football beat, Mr. John Kirby. John, I'm bringing you in right off the top because 10 years later, it's realignment season yet again.
Well, Randy, I think we knew that it would come. I just don't think that we thought it was going to come out yesterday afternoon. You know what I mean?
No kidding.
I mean, you know, you and I joked, we just talked, we were going to start up a little bit more consistent variety of podcasts, and this next one was supposed to be about, you know, the football team, and we were going to get into offense, defense, and what we thought about the staff and the players, and now here we are. We just had to call an audible, and the podcast is going to be about realignment.
Man, and it's funny because this time of year, I mean, that's what our subscribers, that's what we want to talk about is, hey, let's look ahead to fall camp. I mean, we've got a brand new coaching staff that this is the first time they're going to get their players on the field, really, and have a chance to coach them in their system and their drills. And I mean, there's already so much to talk about. And now you put it in the context of just what conference are those guys going to be competing against, or who are they going to be playing against here in a couple years? And it's just like it was 10 years ago. It could literally be an entirely new landscape every day we wake up.
Yeah, it's, you know, Randy, the Big 12 has been a weird conference. I mean, we've all known that this, a day would come, okay?
Yes.
We just didn't know it would be 2021 before football season that we're talking about this. And, you know, this is going to lead, I'm sure we're going to get into more of this. And, you know, I know we got my man, Jeff Ketchum, coming on, who does a great job down with our Texas site and kind of talk about, you know, where this all started and everything. But it's going to leave a lot of people scrambling, you know. Who knows what's going on in Lawrence? You know, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of meetings with coffee fired up over the table this morning and early on. And I mean, there are people scrambling because I think this caught people off guard. I really do.
Well, and there's a meeting of the Big 12's athletic directors in here in the next hour. People are going to be getting on Zoom and talking about just what direction this conference is going in, and you assume starting to lay out contingency plans for the different scenarios that could arise. And I mean, it's literally come out of nowhere. I really feel like everything yesterday was kind of a dull day, and all of a sudden here comes this report from a newspaper, from a website down in Texas. And literally it went from something bubbling on Twitter to the biggest story in all of sports. Like, you kind of feel bad for the Milwaukee Bucks. That first NBA title in 50 years, that got swept off the front page real quick.
Yeah, it did. It did. And, you know, Randy, when you talk about, you know, the talks with the Big 12, I mean, I can see this first talk of people just looking into their monitors on a Zoom call with blank stares and questions about what happens. And I think that's the biggest thing right now is, I mean, you know, when I talk to Jeff offline, I mean, this thing is fire. It's not smoke anymore. Okay. So when you look at this, you know, you're thinking, what does the future hold? And you know, I know Jeff's got an interesting take that he'll, you know, talk about what his theory of how this all unfolds and maybe how the conference could break up. So I just, it's surreal to me. I remember covering this 10 years ago. I mean, I was right in the middle of it, and it was a bizarre feel because you don't know what the future is going to be. And I think that's what's going on right now is there are no answers. So, I mean, they can have Zoom calls and everything, but I don't know right now what the answers to the questions are, and I don't know that they do either.
Before we get into just what all this could mean for Kansas athletics and for KU, I'm going to go ahead, Kirby, I'm going to turn this thing over to you. Let's go ahead and bring on Jeff Ketchum from OrangeBloods.com, who has been driving around the streets of Austin, Texas, chasing down leads and trying to figure out exactly what is going to happen to the Big 12.
Thanks, Randy. I'm going to welcome in a longtime friend of mine that I've worked with for probably close to 20 years, Jeff Ketchum from OrangeBloods.com. Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm good. As soon as you started talking, I started thinking about a trip to Nashville many, many moons ago where we might have both been intoxicated. There were some good old times back in the day, so good to be on with you. And yeah, a lot happening. There's a reason why I'm on today, and, you know, let's get to it, I guess.
Yeah, man. You know, Jeff, you and I were talking just before we started up the studio line here. I mean, you know, this, at least publicly, this thing came out of nowhere and definitely seems like they, you know, caught people off guard. I mean, just what do you know, man? I'm going to kind of give you the floor. What do you know about the timeline, how everything came out yesterday? You guys were on top of this. Just break it down, what you guys took from yesterday afternoon through now.
Well, let's start at the beginning. I think, I don't even know where the beginning is. On the Texas side of things, seems like this has been in the works for a while. And I certainly didn't realize it was this far down the road. I mean, we've been hearing about what's going to happen when the next TV deal comes around. What would Texas do? And Texas has historically been pretty opposed to the idea of joining the SEC. It has, under previous Board of Regents, president, athletic director, head of the Board of Regents, governor, previously it had been aligned, those people had been aligned, those offices had been aligned in a way where it was much more important to be rubbing elbows with the Stanfords of the world academically than anything else. And so where Texas positioned itself from a conference standpoint came down to what's the best fit for us socially and academically. And there's always been some discussion about what that place is, but the SEC has always been kind of seen as the opposite of what Texas prefers. And then there's always been the thought that if Texas believes in football, that if they're really good and they win all their games, that being in the Big 12 won't hurt them. I think they believe they're above Oklahoma from a name recognition standpoint, that when in doubt, if there's a tie, Texas has always believed that it would get the advantage of a tie. And, you know, historically, think about the 2004 Rose Bowl when Texas gets the call over California. Texas just believes if they're just good enough, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt that not even an Oklahoma would get. So they just got to win their games. And the thought process has been the Big 12 provides them a platform that if they're good, they can win all their games and they can be nationally relevant. That's the historical backdrop to this. Now, Texas has a completely new set of decision makers in play. And these people care about athletics a lot. Wait, these are the people that would be on our websites posting and following recruiting. And they're more our fans than they are the type of people that want to rub elbows with the academically elite just so that they can say their friends are in the academically elite. So we've been watching this story, and the idea that there could be change, 2025 feels like a long time away. I didn't realize that we might be this close to Armageddon. But there have been whispers. But I think I'm still so fatigued from the stories from a decade ago that there was a little bit of, you know, the boy who cried wolf, where when I've heard conference realignment talk, I just think, la, 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 I'm not listening to you. And so even on Sunday night, I got asked a question about realignment, and I was a bit evasive with my answer in that I just wasn't sure what the real lay of the land is. It makes sense now, putting all the pieces together almost 24 hours after this story broke, that Texas would be thinking about doing this, because I can, the new leadership, they're more SEC inclined than the old leadership. And recruiting has become a big enough issue in football in state that I could see them wanting to eliminate the A&M SEC angle in recruiting that is really hampered though. But I have to admit, I'm still a little shocked that I had a source tell me last night, and I think we were, I'm pretty sure we were the first to report this, that Texas and Oklahoma, by the end of next week, would be announcing its intentions to the rest of the Big 12 that it would not be intending to renew their rights in the media agreements, and that B, the Longhorn Network, if that has to go, that has to go, but Texas would take getting rid of that, put that on the table in the name of joining the SEC. That is a monumental change of direction. I mean, the Longhorn Network contract still has 10 years left on it. So it's not a little bit of money that we're talking about. It's not as easy as snap the fingers and make it happen. But yet here we are. There seems to be there's no seems to be about it. There's a lot of fire here, John. And I think what happened yesterday, I think Texas and Oklahoma are like the dude that's been cheating on his wife for a long time, and they've been living a lie. And I think that the news comes out, and they were probably afraid for it to get out, but now they're kind of relieved. I think Texas and Oklahoma today are relieved that this got out. But this time yesterday, the feeling was this got leaked by Texas A&M, probably all the way to the top. So the working theory is that John Sharp, the A&M president, leaks this to the A&M reporter on the Houston Chronicle beat, who reports it, you know, yesterday at about 3:15 p.m. Central Time, maybe a little bit earlier. Actually, it was right before A&M would have went on the podium, so maybe like 2:45. And I think the thought was this would potentially be a Hail Mary attempt to, my source, to create friction between the SEC and Texas and Oklahoma to be able to finish a deal. But 3 hours after that came out, I had, like I said, sources. When they went from "I can't comment" to "we're doing this next week," and it gives you an idea of how far down the road this thing might be, that it getting out hasn't really spooked Texas and Oklahoma, because from their perspective, this could just be a mirage, but they seem spook-proof, because I think they believe this thing so far down the road that it's okay to talk about it now. Somebody had to be the bad guy. Somebody had to tell everybody first. But now that it's out there, Oklahoma and Texas seem to be flexing. They are basking in their no comments, along with the SEC Commissioner Sankey. And, you know, I think that if you were to ask me today what I think happens, it's 180 degrees different than what I would have said yesterday. But as of this very moment, I think Texas and Oklahoma are headed to the SEC.
So, Jeff, I got to ask you this. You know, you look at the dates on the grant of rights, and you even talked about how long the Longhorn Network is still going to be under contract for. I mean, give me your timeline on this. I mean, how do you think this plays out? That's the tricky part to me.
I'm so glad that you asked that question, that I have taken my phone off of speaker while I'm driving, and I'm breaking the law to answer. I've gone from hands-free to hands-on, because it felt a little loud, and I want this answer to be heard. You just asked the million-dollar question, and I have the answer for you. I have the answer that your listeners to this podcast, this is what they need to hear, okay? It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you watched the show Loki. There's a moment where one of the characters knows exactly what happens in the entire world up until this moment, this very exact meeting in the show. And this is what's happening in the Big 12. Nobody knows what happens after Texas and Oklahoma notify the Big 12 of their intentions not to renew. It's been described to me as the expected domino that knocks over all the dominoes. But how does it happen? I think the answers are in Lawrence, Kansas, and Manhattan, Kansas, and Lubbock, Texas, and Waco, Texas, and Stillwater, Oklahoma, Ames, Iowa. How do each of the – here's what Texas and Oklahoma are counting on. If they yell fire in a crowded theater, will that cause, let's say KU as a perfect example, do they panic? Do they immediately worry about their lot in life and what they do post-2025 that they start making their own deal? They're talking to the Big Ten. They're talking to the Pac-16. They're doing whatever it is, whatever the hell Kansas can do, they're doing it. And Texas Tech is doing the same thing. And Oklahoma State is doing the same thing. And I think what Texas and Oklahoma are counting on is mass hysteria. Everybody starts looking out for their own sake, because you don't want to be in this game of musical chairs without a seat at a major conference table when it's all said and done. If Texas and Oklahoma yell fire in a crowded theater and the other eight schools, I don't want to say panic, but you could use that word. But if they react strongly enough that they just start fighting and clawing and preparing for themselves to the point that, let's say, in 6 months, Kansas now knows where it's going to go because they haven't sat around and waited. Texas Tech, the same thing. Let's say three or four of the schools of the remaining eight figure out what their plans are. They make them. I think at that point what Texas and Oklahoma are hoping for is that this thing forms into chaos, and then the conference as a whole is unstable to the point that it naturally dissolves before 2025, because it's unsustainable for the league with the teams in it to think that they could play together and live together and coexist together for the next 4 years. So what do? They're hoping that KU does the dirty work for them. So all they announce is that they're not extending the rights. It's not that they're leaving the conference. It's not that the SEC necessarily. It's that they start the panic. And that by starting the panic, it causes all of the other schools in the Big 12 to start rushing to figure out what it is that they're going to do. And if enough schools do that, then I think they believe that the conference can dissolve and they could be in the SEC by 2023. That you go through this year, and then by the time we get to this point next year, chaos has ensured that everybody else knows where they want to go and nobody wants to wait till 2025. And then next year's the lame duck. We're going to get divorced when the kids are 18 year. One more year to go, and then we can get divorced. I think that's what next year would be. But Texas and Oklahoma don't just have the freedom to up and go. They need more things to happen. I think they're counting on those things to happen. You know, I was joking with some people today. Look, if you're Kansas State, and John, we now live in a world where A&M and Texas already split, but Oklahoma's now given indications they don't really care what happens to Oklahoma State. And, you know, these natural partnerships that have existed, in-state partnerships for a long time, they're really going to be tested. Because if you're KU, no offense to the guys in Manhattan, but they might be dead weight for KU. And we've had conversations about Pac-16 and the Big Ten, where Kansas would be part of this group that would go in previous iterations of this realignment thing. Kansas has been in, but Iowa State has been out, and Kansas State has been potentially out. All of these schools, this basically makes Kansas and Kansas State have to decide, are we really in it together or not? And if the Big Ten were to come calling and say, hey, we'll take Oklahoma State and KU, but we don't want anybody else, I think KU's got to do what they've got to do. I think Kansas State's got to figure out what they've got to do. But we may end up in a world where – I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm Kansas State and it's like, holy crap, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. It might be that hanging out in the Big 12 and collecting your TV checks and still being in a major conference, a true major conference for the next 4 years sounds better than just getting some money and then figuring it out, but being in a lesser position. You know, you can make a case that KU and Kansas State may view this thing entirely different. That Kansas State might say, it sucks, but if we don't have any better choices, we'll stay in the Big 12 till 2025, dysfunction be damned. But I don't know that Kansas will feel the same way. And if Kansas gets an extension and an invitation from the Pac-16 or the Big 10 or somebody, something like that, and it's like, there's our life preserver, they might not be able to wait on Kansas State, or they might not be able to they may just have to kick Kansas State to the curb. You're just going to be left with these other eight institutions fending for themselves to make sure they don't get left out. And I just think Texas and Oklahoma are going to sit back and count on most programs and universities will want to resolve this as soon as possible. They won't want to associate themselves with people who ultimately will have lied to them. And, you know, there's going to be some people who feel like Texas and OU just delivered a knife into the back. So I don't know. I mean, you tell me, how do you think Kansas specifically responds to this? Do you think they sit and wait? Or do you think starting as soon as today, we got to figure out what we're going to do. We can't just wait.
Well, Jeff, I think all of them, you know, the other eight schools are all, I'm sure, were huddled up with some coffee at about 7 a.m. this morning, you know, within their own universities and chancellors and talking about this. You know, the one thing that's always been a big talking point here is Kansas and Kansas State being tied together with the Board of Regents and things like that. And we're going to get into this a little bit later in our podcast. But, you know, I've got it on good enough authority, and I think others are starting to come up with it now, that if the situation came up to where you've got two schools and one can go somewhere and the other can't, and the other is definitely a better situation, then that school's going to get to go. I mean, the Board of Regents can have as much power they can to an extent to where you can't hold someone back for bettering their situation. So I think that's all going to go by the wayside if this all comes down to what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what ultimately it's going to come down to options. And it's not show friends, it's show business. And that is what Texas and Oklahoma are counting on. In their perfect dream, all they do is knock over one domino, and then the other dominoes knock over each other. And in the end, if they're playing in the SEC in 2023, they'll say, hey, we were ready to stay in the Big 12 till 2025. But, you know, we understand that everybody else had to look out for themselves. And in the end, it was just in the best interest for everybody to end this thing early. But that's lying through their teeth. That's super disingenuous. They're counting on the chaos the door that opens up the pathway to the Big 12 being able to dissolve in half the amount of time that contractually there still exists to go.
That is a very interesting theory and one that does make sense. Hey, Jeff, listen, man, I know you got things going on and you joined us from your car while you're driving. I really appreciate you coming on. And I know me and you will be in touch talking about this in the upcoming days and weeks. And I really appreciate you stepping in here.
It's back again, John. And all the denial in the world won't change the fact that we're back in the same spot all over again. And I guess the question that Kansas fans, I think, are asking, is it real this time? Is this, you know, we've done this enough now where it's like, are they just, is this a joke? Are we going to get at the very, you know, there are some people that think, are Texas and Oklahoma just trying to get the terms of the Big 12 changed back in their favor, that it's not equal revenue, all of these things. And I'll just say my final shot and I'll let you go. This time I think it's real, John. And I think the reason why I say that is there's so much calm in both Austin and Norman. A&M put that thing out there because they thought it would cause a huge uproar. And the fact that it didn't is very eye-opening. And it's why, as of this moment, I think there's more fire here than smoke. And it's why this won't be a conversation that you and I are done talking about together for a while.
I agree. Jeff, man, hey, I know you guys got a lot of writing and other podcasts and radio stuff to do. I really appreciate you coming in, man. We'll be in touch.
Love you, Kirby. You're my favorite. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, catch. See you.
That was just a fantastic interview with Jeff Ketchum, and that's a guy who clearly never holds back. Kirby, I know all of this. I know it's super early in the process. It was maybe 24 hours ago that the news started to drop about the potential of this, about the inquiry allegedly from the University of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. I know it's, like I say, we don't know much, but what does this mean for KU and how do they handle it with a brand new athletic director?
Well, you know, listen, you talk about a guy that's walked into the fire. I mean, you know, Travis Goff, I'm impressed with him. He's a sharp guy. I think he understands Kansas. Everybody that I've talked to is very impressed with him. But, I mean, you talk about walking in just to a hornet's nest. I mean, the guy comes in, right, and what's he got to do? He comes in, shakes people's hands, says hello, watches over the football program, says, I'm going to go out and hire a football coach. He goes out, gets that done, comes back, actually starts working on his real day job now that he's got the football coach. I'm sure he's just getting settled in. He just hired Jason Booker, who is a favorite of mine, is you know, his deputy AD. And then this hits. Travis Goff, I mean, you know, he's definitely going to drink a beer tonight.
He is never going to complain about a dull day at work. The way things are going since he got to Lawrence, I don't know if he can actually define what that even looks like.
Well, think about it. I mean, he's just, you know, finally settled back in to do the day-to-day operations after hiring a football coach and actually running a Power Five athletic department. And now this comes up. So, like you said, Randy, there's the call with the presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors tonight, and that's just going to be step one. I mean, these guys are trying to figure out what's going on because they've been blindsided too. So I don't care how smart they are and what plans they may be concocting on the back end. This is going to be something that is going to take time to play out, and we still don't know if this is going to turn into every man for himself. Okay, like Ketchum said, you know, KU's on the phone calling these people. Oklahoma State's on the phone calling these people. Texas Tech. You know, we don't know how this is all going to play out. But, you know, like Ketch said, everybody is going to have to start looking out for themselves at some point. And, you know, I thought his theory was very interesting, where if there's enough chaos created and enough guys out there flying around trying to do their own thing, you know, there's a chance that the conference, you know, could dissolve because, you know, it definitely sounds like OU and Texas are, I mean, this is not a drill. This is not a, you know, this is DEFCON 2. I mean, you know, everybody is on high alert right now, and there is nobody denying anything that this is going on right now. So, you know, this is going to be interesting, and this is just the beginning. I don't think anybody knows where this goes.
Now, I know you had a column on the message board today, and that, as you just said, nobody really knows where this is going at this point. But, I mean, what is next? I mean, maybe that's the easiest question is what after, obviously you just mentioned it, you know, you had, like I say, we've got this call tonight with all the ADs and the administrations. What is next?
Yeah, Randy, I don't know what's next. And when I say that, I don't know that the ADs and the presidents know what's next. I mean, right now, and I know KU fans and other fans throughout the Big 12, they don't like hearing this. Right now, everybody is going to be reactionary and somewhat to the mercy of what OU and Texas does, okay? Because, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe this thing falls through. I remember Larry Scott from the Pac-12 had come in, and I remember he had a flight set to go to KCI or Lawrence after down there talking to the Texas schools, and the deal fell through. He never made the trip up here 10 years ago when he was looking at, you know, when they were trying to expand with the Pac-12. So you still never know. It definitely has a different feel than that time. But nobody knows where this is going to go. Listen, Kansas is an AAU school. They've got a national brand. They're known in the past. I know this for a fact. I have talked to multiple people who would know this information. They have had discussions in the past with other conferences, okay? I know there was, you know, there were some with the Big Ten and there were some with the ACC. You know, I put this on the board today. One of the problems with the ACC was they felt Kansas was a good match. They fit a profile that the ACC schools would look for. The issue came down to location, okay? And that was really a big drawback to the ACC schools then. Well, I got bad news because Lawrence is still in Lawrence, okay?
True.
It didn't move. So,
and that kind of travel, like you say, that's almost as bad as you know, what KU has encountered going out to West Virginia. It's basically the same thing. And every sport at every school has complained about that. So like you said, that problem's not going away. I mean, you know, you mentioned all this. What can you tell our listeners and KU fans out there? I mean, are there options at this point? Is it too early to talk about options?
Well, Randy, nobody would know options. This stuff just happened 24 hours ago, right? I mean, you got ADs and presidents right now. They are scrambling around figuring what in the world is going on. They've been blindsided. So when you start talking about options for the future, I mean, we don't even know. And I said this on the board. We have no clue if the Big Ten is even going to expand. Okay? Let's say Oklahoma and Texas go. They could go, and the Big Ten could say, we're good. We're good with where we're at. We're happy with our money. We're happy with the schools that we added in Maryland and Rutgers some time ago. We don't feel we need to expand. I mean, the ACC may not. Now, you're into a whole different scenario because I know everybody's trying to figure out where will KU go. I put this on the board that I talked to a couple people who are in the college industry, and you know, these are guys in two different scenarios, in two different totally conversations, that both mentioned the fact that, you know, the eight teams that would be left in the Big 12 would still have the rights to the Big 12 conference, the Big 12 name, and if they were to go out and pick up 2 to 4 schools that are at the upper end of the G5 level right now, you know, and I'm just throwing out a Central Florida, a SMU, a wealthy school in Dallas, a BYU who's got a national following, you know, somebody like that. That, you know, they bring in some value. They bring in TV sets. They bring in numbers. You know, you'd have the state of Florida. You'd have Dallas, although TCU is already there. Would that would that constitute a Power Five conference? And one of these guys said he thought it would. He thought there'd be enough quality in there. You know, one of the other things, Randy, you got to start looking at, if this all falls apart, is TV contracts. Okay? So, I mean, what? I think KU's probably making somewhere in the neighborhood of the upper 30s right now, probably between 35, 39 million, I think, was the last payout, if I recall right, on the TV contracts. Well, you know, when you lose Oklahoma and Texas, your next TV contract is not going to be that lucrative. So you know, you might have to settle for less if you don't find a landing spot in a big conference. And like I said, Randy, this stuff is all so new. There is no way anybody can predict what's going to happen right now. There's no way. If you think you know what's going to happen, it's a lucky guess. Okay, go play the lottery, because there is nobody that knows right now. So, you know, I don't know. You know, you keep hearing about this 64 team type conference deal of four conferences.
This breakaway thing that people keep mentioning.
Yeah, but if they get to 64, listen, Kansas is going to have a seat at the big table, right? Kansas has enough going. They are attractive enough as a university that, you know, they're going to they'll find a seat. Hey, one thing I want to mention too, I thought this was interesting, and I want to be careful and not give up, you know, too many of my sources, but I'll just say there was a conference that thought KU was attractive, you know, some time ago, but they were a little concerned about their facilities. Okay. Well, since that time, you know, Kansas has built a track stadium, softball, soccer, tennis, golf. You know, they just, you know, redid volleyball. So, you know, that, you know, Kansas has some things that make them an attractive college, and with their name recognition, their basketball program, that if it gets to a point where people start opening up and trying to go out and gobble teams, I mean, I really believe this, that once you get outside of Oklahoma and Texas and the Big 12, I mean, I think next on the pecking order is probably KU. So if that happens, Kansas will be okay.
Okay, let's close this thing out with the question that is seemingly on everybody's mind on the Jayhawk Slant message boards, as well as on the airwaves, really, here in Kansas City, too. And that's the situation with KU allegedly being tied or not tied, or would they be anchored to Kansas State? And how could they go separate places? Could we see the end of that rivalry because they go their separate ways? I mean, what do you know about this? Because this is what everybody's asking right now, John.
Yeah, you know, Randy, I don't know if they did split, I mean, wouldn't they probably still play each other? I would think they would.
You think they would, you know? Have to.
Yeah, so, but here's what I do know, and I knew this some time ago, and I say this almost as fact. Okay, well, number one, the Board of Regents, they want Kansas and K-State together, okay? That's always in a perfect world, okay? Yeah. And to this point, it's been a perfect world. But if things start falling apart, okay, in the Big Ten, let's just say the Big Ten, I'll just use them as an example. Let's say they come to Kansas. Hey, you know what? Turn the shoe on the other foot. What if they go to Kansas State? Okay? So let's say the Big Ten goes to Kansas and they say, we want to offer you an invite. There is no way that the Kansas Board of Regents is going to sit here and say, you can't take that. We won't sign off on that. I mean, that will be an absolute mess if they ever tried to do that. Because Kansas, if that ever happened, they're gone. Okay? I mean, there might be some fist fights and some stuff, but the Board of Regents will lose that. And I have talked to enough people who are involved in college athletics around here that said they want them tied, and if everything was equal, they want them together. But if push started coming to shove and there was a breakup and people started going every which way, Kansas could absolutely, especially if it was going to benefit the university, they could turn and run.
That is the final word from John Kirby as we kick off, or we come to a close, excuse me, of our first realignment edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. if you are one of our subscribers, you are geared up for what is going to be one of the most eventful times in Kansas athletic history. If you're not, there is no better time to subscribe to Jayhawk Slant than right now. Get all the information from some of the best, some of the experts, Shea Wildebor, John Kirby, and myself, people that have their ears to the proverbial ground, if you will, hearing everything and sharing all the insight from the people that know KU football and basketball best. Sign up now. There's no better time, and buckle up, everybody. We have no idea what's coming next. It's probably going to be a bumpy ride. We'll be here for every bit of it. We're going to do these podcasts a lot more often as news breaks. We're going to try to have updates from the people that can share it with you, give you insight. For now, I'm Randy Withers. You've been here listening to the latest edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We'll talk to you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.